Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
Praise the Lord. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to the 9th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. I apologize for the what's going on in my throat. It's just allergies. Anybody else dealing with allergies? It's Indiana in the summertime. All right. Well, it's quite interesting in this passage. I would mention to you that I told Pastor Steve I actually was going to skip over this passage because I thought the simplicity of it was very easy to understand, and I was all prepared to leap over the top of this particular portion and go to the next portion. Matter of fact, started working on it in my mind and praying over it. And I was sitting watching this show called Songland. Maybe you've seen that. I like those shows where they bring young talent out and put it on display. So I was sitting watching that, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and laid out the message that I was to preach to you today. So I jumped up, grabbed a pen and a paper, and wrote down what he put in my heart, and he put me on track. Yeah, you got to be careful if you listen to the Lord. He'll mess with you. Do you know that? He'll actually speak right into your life and give you a sense of direction. So I believe that this is for some of us today. Amen? The legendary British philosopher and atheist, renowned atheist, and author of such books as The Presumption of Atheism, by the name of Anthony Flew, he wrote these words. He says, As a noted critic of God's existence for decades, Flew gave up atheism at age 81. When asked in 2004 what arguments for God's existence he found most persuasive, Flew answered, "The most impressive arguments for God's existence are those that are supported by recent scientific discoveries. I think the argument to intelligent design is enormously stronger than when I first met it." This is from his book called My Pilgrimage from Atheism to Theism. God changes lives. Praise the Lord. In our passage today, we have Matthew's testimony of the change that occurred in his life when he had an encounter with Jesus. And I would offer you today that this becomes his testimony, and many others become a standard that you can count on. In Jesus, we do not need to be identified with the negatives of our past. Let me say that one more time. In Jesus, we do not need to be identified by the negatives in our past. Let me unpackage this a little bit, and we'll start by reading verse number 9 of chapter 9. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting in a tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. but go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Father, help us this morning as we take these few moments and peer into your word that you have preserved for us these hundreds of years. Help us, O Lord, to realize the transformation that occurs when we have an encounter with you. Help us this morning, O Lord, to have rich and deep understanding, an understanding that only your Spirit can give to us. I thank you for my study. I thank you for what you put in my heart. But I realize that your Spirit can go deeper and way beyond anything that I can ever say. So help us, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like for you to, for a moment to think with me of those biblical characters who were changed by an encounter with Jesus. Matthew, here, was a tax collector. That was one of the most abhorrent professions of the day. Because they cheated people. They made their money by bumping up the tax that the Roman government was mandating. And they cheated the people. They were most all of them very wealthy. And they had built their wealth on the backs of the common people. So to be a tax collector was not a good job. It was good in the sense that you made a lot of money. It was not good in the sense if you wanted people to like you. I would imagine that they had guards standing by to take care of them, because if they didn't, somebody probably would have hurt them. They were hated. Jesus, on this particular day, by the Holy Spirit, was directed to Matthew, a tax collector. Now, it's pretty innocent when he went to the shores of Galilee and called fishermen to come and follow him. Most fishermen are kind of okay. I say that in a fisherman headquarters here. You know, they're not generally hated by people. So for him to bring on fishermen and call them out, you're no longer a gather fish, but now you're going to gather men. Everybody's kind of like, oh, okay. But I mean, when he walked up to the tax collector's booth and said to Matthew, come and follow me, I'm sure that the other boys in the crowd who were following along probably kind of cocked their heads a little bit. A tax collector? Really? You see, you would never, even if you retired as a tax collector, you still would have been a tax collector. Does anybody here ever know an IRS agent? We don't have any in here, do we? Anybody here an IRS agent? Probably good that we don't know. I have known some. I've had them in the churches that I've pastored in the past, and they don't tell people that they are work for the IRS. Who do you work for? Well, I work for the government. Well, what branch of the government? Oh, just one of the branches. Can't really go into it. Because as soon as they're labeled a tax collector, they're still despised today. It's sad to me that there are many professions that are being despised that should not be despised. Hello? I'm very concerned as law enforcement is starting to get a shadow cast over it because of a few individuals. Saddens me. We need to recognize, though, that there are many other titles, there are many other labels that are put. Think with me of the story that we looked at here Sunday or so ago of a man that Jesus met on the shore of Galilee. Does anybody remember that story? Remember what we were talking about? He had demons in him. How many remember that? Good. What was his name? What's that? I can't hear you. Who? That was the name of the demons that were in him. What's the name that the scripture gives him? The demoniac. As a matter of fact, in most of our Bibles, it will actually have a verse number 28 there. It says, Jesus restored two demon-possessed men. In some of the scriptures, it says, the healing of the demoniac. He was a pretty important guy. After his encounter with Jesus. Before his encounter with Jesus, he was known as the demoniac. He was known as the one who had all these demons in him. Don't get near him. He ran around naked. He would hurt you if you got near him. So they put him out into the caves where he tried to hurt himself. Labels. He was labeled by his possession. You say, well, you know, we don't do that thing anymore. Drug addict? Criminal? Hello? There are still these labels that are attached to individuals because of the negative things that happen in their lives. And we as human beings, by our nature, will maintain those labels. This past week, a fellow that I pastored and had numerous encounters with passed away. He had a motorcycle accident down in Florida. And so he's been heavy upon my mind. And so I share him today so that I can kind of think of him for a moment or two. He and his wife and family were, well, beautiful people. They were the type of individuals, all blonde-haired, blue-eyed, just the right height, dressed to the nines. He was in the principal of the year for the state of Indiana, which was quite a feat back in the 1980s. This gentleman and his wife were part of our congregation and dearly loved. I'll not go into all of the particulars of the story, but his wife came down with an illness and they had a very high deductible in their insurance to keep the premiums lower, even though he was part of the school system. And she actually exceeded the limits on the insurance. So they had a fundraiser at his school and had a considerable amount of money on hand that was not going to be put to use. And so he borrowed against the funds, not telling anybody. And of course, we all will acknowledge the fact that that was wrong to do. Easy to do, but wrong to do. And he was caught. And when he was caught, his picture, full-size picture, probably on a newspaper, but probably a 5x8 picture of him on the front page of the newspaper and labeled thief. Their lives changed in a heartbeat. Negatives, folks. Negatives can take a reputation and turn it inside out. Negatives, labels, But I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus is more powerful than all of those. Simon Peter denied Jesus 3 times. He could not get over the label that he was carrying as denier of Jesus. But an encounter with Jesus on the shore of Galilee, Peter, do you love me? Then feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. An encounter with Jesus. And the next picture that we have of him is in an upper room on the day of Pentecost, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Another encounter with Jesus and his power. And he stands up on the day of Pentecost and preaches a sermon. And 3,000 people give their hearts to the Lord on that day. I'm telling you, church, that an encounter with Jesus can change the negatives. It doesn't matter if they're in immediate sense or if they're long term or if it's your reputation. It doesn't matter what the circumstance. Jesus can change the negatives of your life into positives. The Apostle Paul never got over the fact that he persecuted Christians. But his encounter in Acts chapter 9 shows that Jesus got over it. He stopped him on his Damascus road and said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Why are you kicking against me?" Through another man in the church by the name of Ananias. Ananias spoke to him, said, "I'm going to show him what things he must suffer for my name's sake. But I'm going to use him. Go lay your hands on him and his sight will be restored." You know, even the church was afraid of Saul of Tarsus. You see their initial encounters. They were afraid because his reputation preceded him. But when they began to notice that he had had an encounter with Jesus, come on, they received him in. They took his counsel. They sent him out as an ambassador. They trusted him. The one who had put some of their friends and loved ones in jail. What was the difference? He had had an encounter with Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Now I want to show you out of this simple passage, these very few verses, I believe are the keys to this encounter with Jesus. Because this morning, the enemy of your soul may be over and over and over again reminding you of the negatives from your past. Ah, you can't serve the Lord. Now you just sit down and be quiet because you did X, Y, Z. You did this. You were talked like this. You lived this kind of life. And he may be whispering in your ear your uselessness. I want to tell you this morning that in Jesus, you can become useful. And your reputation can be changed dramatically with an encounter with him. You believe it? Look at Matthew. Because there's something really, really spectacular here, I think. You know, Matthew testifies to these three, it sermonizes, okay? Three changes in his life that would be beneficial to every single one of us. First, Jesus saw him. And you say, "Well, now wait a minute. How can that be me?" Jesus saw him. This wasn't something that Matthew did, but this is something that Jesus did for Matthew. You know, I don't know if you realize how blessed we are here this morning. Do you know that there are still billions, billions of people this morning who have never heard about Jesus? You see, I can say with complete confidence, as you sit here this morning, You have heard the name of Jesus. Jesus has seen you. I think it's just fitting that we would stop and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that I am not one of the billions of people on the face of this earth who have never heard about Jesus. You want to do that? Let's stop and thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you brought the gospel close enough to me. Thank you that you have come close enough to see me in my circumstance. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Because I realize that there are millions and billions of people who have never had an encounter with you. Thank you that just like Matthew, you see me right where I am. Praise your name. Second thing, Jesus invited him. Wow, an invitation by the Son of God. I don't know, you know, we this, again, is Matthew's own testimony, his own words. There had to be more to that story. Huh? Now think about it. He's standing in his tax collector's booth. And Jesus sees him, comes over to him, and says to him, Matthew, come and follow me. Now Matthew had a choice. Just like every single one of us have a choice. The Spirit of the Lord calls out to us and says, come and follow me. How many know what how many know the voice that I'm talking about? Where the Lord speaks into your heart and says, you need to follow Jesus. Come and follow me. Turn from your life of sin. Turn from your past. And come and follow me. And you have a decision to make in that moment as to whether or not you will follow Jesus or won't follow Jesus. You see, it's not just giving mental assent. Oh yeah, I know who Jesus is. He came around my booth one day. But it is actually answering the call of His Holy Spirit when His Spirit calls out and says to you, Jill, will you follow me? And in that moment, you have a decision to make. My Bible says that Matthew, like the other disciples, left his booth. That Spirit of the Lord that's speaking inside of you, perhaps even this very morning for the very first time, and He's saying, it's time now, come and follow me. You're saying, who, me? Do you know the past that I have? Do you know all the things that have happened, all the stuff that I've been through? What could you do with somebody like me? And Lord Jesus says, come. All you who labor and are heavy laden with your sins, with your past, with your hurts, with your failures, come and follow me. Come and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn about me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. He's not inviting you to take from you. He's inviting you to do something with you spectacular. You know, the enemy loves to echo the thou shalt not. Steve is speaking on Wednesday night. He's telling us about the Ten Commandments and very valuable lessons. And the enemy loves to take the thou shalt nots and dangle them over our heads and maybe beat us sideways with them. Well, if you say yes to Jesus, you can't do this, 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 and this. He'll tell you all the things that you cannot do and all the negatives that you could possibly think of. But I want to give you a positive this morning, and that is, if you will say yes to the invitation of Jesus, you will never have a life that is better than the life that you can have in Jesus. Follow me. He didn't tell Matthew where. He didn't say where we're going. Come on. If one of you says, come here, let's go, I'm probably going to say to you, where are we going? If you don't tell her, I'll tell a secret on our family here. My wife will preface and go, will you do me a favor? See, we've been married 47 years. I've learned a thing or two now. What are we talking about? That's how she actually started, when she was saying, will you... Last night, I'm sitting in a chair like 11 o'clock at night, and she comes walking around the corner. Will you do me a favor? Well, what are we talking about? Don't dismiss the congregation till 11:15. I said, now Sharon, not everybody has kids back there. So now, come on. When Jesus says, come and follow me, don't you think Matthew would have kind of gone, where are we going? How long are we going to be there? Do I need to bring something? What's it going to cost me? No. He just left his booth and followed Jesus. I hope you can see there's an incredible lesson right there. Because see, Jesus is not going to give you all the details. His Holy Spirit speaking into your heart, He's not going to tell you how it's all going to be mapped out, how it's all going to work out, how everything is going to come to pass. He just says, come and follow me. But I can tell you, if you're willing to come and follow Jesus, you will find your best life on that trail. And He can take all the negatives that have happened in your past and turn them into positive. Praise His name. Hold on. I love it. When Jesus transformed the demoniac, that guy had to have a regular name, you know? He wanted to follow Jesus. He wanted to get in the boat and leave the area and follow Jesus. And what did Jesus say? No. You stay here. And go into the town and tell them what the Lord has, what I have done, what the Spirit has done in your life, the transformation that has occurred. It would have been easier for the guy probably to have gotten on the boat and gone with them. Because when he walked into town, dressed, in his right mind, don't you know that everybody is like, ooh, be careful now, this may be a trick, he may turn on us. And then all of a sudden, they begin to see Jesus in him. When Jesus went back to minister to the Gadareans, they told Jesus to leave. But after that man got finished with them, Jesus went back there and did great miracles, healing all who were sick, it says. I want you to understand something. Jesus can change your life and my life and do more in our town than He could if He was present. He actually said, greater works than these will you do in my name. Because see, He can take a person with a reputation, get into their heart and life, transform them, and He can do more with that life than He could do Himself in preaching. Because people who would never listen to Him, people who would never come out to hear Him, will hear the worst drunk in town? The drug addict? You know, a drug addict if they're totally transformed by the power of the blood of Jesus, can go back among their drug addicts and see many of them come to know Jesus. I can offer you Teen Challenge as proof of that. Finally, the third part of this is Matthew invited Jesus to his house for dinner. Now, we don't have the invitation in here. We just know that Jesus was at dinner at Matthew's house. But somewhere along the line, Matthew said, come home. I want you to meet my family. I want you to meet my servants. Oh, and by the way, if you read the text here, it says that there were other tax collectors and some sinners there. So Matthew said, come to my house. I'm going to invite my tax collector friends and some raunchy people. And Jesus said, why would I want to be around a bunch of tax collectors and raunchy people? No. Jesus was there. And all the self-righteous people said, what are you doing eating with tax collectors and sinners? Huh? See, we need to understand something this morning. Jesus came. Jesus is here this morning. His Holy Spirit is in this house this morning looking for those with a bad reputation, with negatives in their past, with things that they can't get over. He's here this morning. He wants to minister. He wants to change your circumstance. He wants to change your name. Jesus, he'd love to change people's names. Our Heavenly Father loves to change people's names from helpless, hopeless to somebody who belongs to Him. From Jacob the supplanter, one who grabs at the heel, to a shining light of God. Oh, come on. There is something here. Matthew's testimony of transformation should speak to us this morning that the Lord Jesus can change our lives. Whatever the negatives are in your past, whatever the sins that you have committed, bringing them in, laying them at the feet of Jesus. You say, well, if Jesus would walk up to my house and if he would say, he's here. His Holy Spirit is here. You say, well, yeah, but that's not Jesus. Jesus says another one just like me is going to be here. He's going to remain with you. He's going to speak into you. He's going to convict you of sin. He's going to lead you in the path of truth. That is His Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same Spirit that He is calling out to you and saying, haven't you walked long enough in your former reputation? Haven't you walked long enough with the sin that has engulfed your life? He says, give me a chance. Take me home with you. Now, there's some advice. You see, sometimes we want a Jesus that we can come and visit in the church. But if you want to have a real encounter with Him, you need to take Him home with you. Plan a dinner. One like Matthew. Plan a dinner and bring in all of your family and bring in all of your associates and set them down at your table and introduce them to the one who changes lives. The Apostle Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. It's the power of God that changes who you are. It's the power of God that makes a difference in people's lives. If you are ashamed of the gospel, then you have not realized the benefits of the gospel in your life. I cannot imagine where I would be without Jesus. You say, well, yeah, but you're a pastor. I am a human being who needs a Savior just like every other person. Whatever you may be holding on to from your past, you can let go of in Jesus and be transformed. Oh, he has a terrible temper. Huh? That may be what everybody knows you by. They know you. You're the man with a terrible temper. You are the person with the drug problem. You are the alcoholic that when you start drinking, nobody wants to be around you. Can I tell you this morning? Jesus wants to change who you are. Now talk about a transformation. This old tax collector wrote the very first book of the New Testament that was brought into the canon of the Bible, that was brought in and preserved so that thousands and thousands of years later, you and I would study the words that this man wrote down under the inspiration of the Spirit. And he got up and preached and ministered. But you know where he started? He started with Matthew, accepting the invitation of Jesus to follow him, and gave him everything that he had, and invited all of his family and all of his... Hey, listen. You know, from that point forward, Matthew never had to worry at all about his testimony. We've got too many Christians that are running around in secrecy. It's like you work for the CIA or something. Or from that outfit that Michael works for. Can't tell anybody anything. Where do you work? Oh, over there. Huh? Too many Christians are trying to be anonymous Christians. You can't do it. Not if you want your life to be transformed. Because see, those people will always be pulling you in all different kinds of directions that they are accustomed to you living. Whereas on the other hand, just get them all together in a room, feed them some food, and say to them, I have had an encounter with Jesus. He has changed my life dramatically. You can expect to see different things out of me from this point forward. That's not to say that I won't fail, but when I fail, I'm going to acknowledge that I have failed, both to the Lord and to you. But I want you to know, I have been transformed. And you can be too. Hey, I guarantee you, your testimony time will be much easier from that point forward. Come on, think about it for a moment with me. Matthew, he didn't have to worry about his family wondering what happened to him or his friends. He had invited them all to dinner, brought Jesus in, gave them a full dose of Jesus right up front. Remember Zacchaeus? Huh? Little man, climbed tree. Huh? Had an encounter with Jesus. Jesus said, come on down out of that tree. I'm going to have dinner at your house. I'm telling you, you need to take Jesus home with you. If you read the Bible as I read the Bible, it says that Zacchaeus also, he stood up. Apparently, he too had invited everybody to come to dinner. Because it says he stood up and said to all of them, look, if I've done anything, if I've cheated you in the past, I will give you back what I took from you and fivefold. Lo and behold, people go, whoa, this Zacchaeus had a change in his life. Stop trying to be an anonymous believer. Gather your family together. Tell them what Jesus has done. But first, have an encounter with Jesus. That can happen right here this morning. Oh, this isn't quite over. I have to tell you, why does Jesus eat with tax collectors and sinners? It's right here in the passage. The religious people asked this question. I remember one time, and I may have told you this, if I have, forgive me, but I remember one time when a 7-foot-tall transvestite came into our service up in Michigan, fully dressed as a woman, but huge as a man. I mean, huge. 7-foot-tall. Looked like a football player. But in a dress. And boy, were the saints a-talking. I mean, this was You know, you could see all the little groups. Come to find out, I mean, I will be very honest, that the ladies were all concerned as to which bathroom that this individual was going to use. But nevertheless, the saints were having a conversation. And we tend to do that. Jesus, on the other hand, looks for the hurting, looks for the broken, looks for the wounded, looks for the sinner. I remember as I was planting churches back in the late 70s and the 80s and 90s, I don't remember who it was, who the speaker was, but I was having a conference of pastors of new churches and also of the home missions churches. And the speaker made this statement, and I've thought about it many times since. He said, when you go into a town, he said, find the worst sinner, the one with the worst reputation, and live with that individual until they accept Jesus. And then the whole town will come to know him. And I've thought about it many times. You know, quite often when the arch sinner shows up in church or somebody that we know is broken, you know, we want to do this. That's not Jesus. He was never afraid. You know, when you ate with somebody back in Jesus' day, it meant that you were embracing them. You were their friend. You were a companion of theirs. It really meant something. He was never afraid to go and sit at someone's table and be associated with the worst of the worst. Why? Because the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. The enemy of your soul may be telling you this morning, oh, but that creature doesn't know what I've done. Jesus knows. And he loves you incredibly this morning. He's ready to take your reputation. He's ready to take your past. He's ready to take all of your sins. And by the way, he's here. His presence is here in this room. And he is, through this preacher, extending an invitation to you to come to Jesus and follow him. You know, often we say, accept Jesus as your Savior. And I think that there's validity to that statement. But I think it leaves a little bit out. Because, see, this is more than just accepting Jesus as Savior. If you want to transform life, you got to follow him. That means you turn from your old life and you follow Jesus. In following Jesus, that's where the healing occurs. The demoniac was set free from those demons. But if he did not turn his heart toward Jesus, Jesus himself said others would come and occupy him. I believe part of that was, in following Jesus, was the fact that he was willing to sustain a testimony. Huh? You know, to walk in and go, look what Jesus did. I'm here. I'm changed. So it's not just accepting Jesus as your Savior, but it is accepting his invitation and following him. And in that, reputation changes, life changes. Give him a chance, church. Give him a chance. Let me give you one last little illustrative note here. Sir Francis Drake, a explorer, man of the sea, wrote these words. disturb us, Lord. When we're too pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have come true because we have dreamed too little, when we arrive safely because we have sailed too close to the shore. Disturb us, Lord, when with the abundance of things we possess, we've lost our thirst for the waters of life, have fallen in love with life, we have ceased to dream of eternity, and in our efforts to build a new earth, we have allowed our vision of a new heaven to dim. Disturb us, Lord, to dare more boldly, to venture on wider seas where storms will show your mastery, where losing sight of land, we shall find the stars. We ask you to push back the horizons of our hopes and to push us into the future in strength and courage and hope and love. I like those words, disturb us, Lord, because I offer them to you even as they deal with my heart as a believer. Disturb us, Lord. Don't let us forget where you have brought us from, where we would be today if it were not for an encounter with you. You see, this transformation is not just for those who need to get over a horrible past, but it is for every single one of us to be reminded completely and continually, disturb us, Lord. I no longer weep over those that are lost around me. I no longer am concerned with the things that you are concerned with. Disturb us, Lord.